Good afternoon and welcome to our ILC conversation, lunchtime conversation brought to you by the ILO Future of Work podcast series. We are here coming to you from the International Labour Conference at the Palais des Nations here in Geneva. Each day we explore a key topic shaping the world of work with guests from around the world who share their insights and experiences. Today we are looking at what is at stake for the second World Summit for Social Development and ILO's participation. Now, 30 years after the Copenhagen Summit, the second World Summit for Social Development will take place in Doha, Qatar, on November 4th to 6th, 2025. The summit is a unique opportunity to rally the international community behind the common objective of advancing social progress and social justice as a fundamental contribution to achievement of sustainable development, peace and security. Through this conversation at the 2025 International Labour Conference, you will learn more about the interconnected themes of social development. Why is it in fact emphasizing the critical role of tripartite collaboration in advancing the following actionable objective: the pathway to the second World Summit for Social Development as a tripartite solution for social justice. Let me now introduce you to our great exclusive woman panelists. We have our colleagues from the International Labour Organization with Claire Courtel-Mulder, who is the senior advisor for the World Social Summit at ILO. We have Shara Razavi, who is the director of the Social Protection Department at the ILO, which also goes by the acronym SOCPRO, for those who know. And we also are joined by our partner from Brazil, Councillor Adriana Rodriguez Martins, head of the Division of Social Justice of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Thank you, ladies, for being here. Let's start with you, Claire, shall we? Why is the summit important for the ILO?
Thank you, Khadija, and thank you, colleague. Good afternoon. Well, I think the summit is very important for the ILO, at least for three reasons. The first one is that the topic of the summit, social development, is of direct relevance to the ILO's mandate. As you know, employment and labor issues are part of an important part of social development. And productive employment and decent work is actually one of the three pillars of social development, together with poverty eradication and social cohesion. So that's really the first reason. The second reason is, as you said, I mean, the first summit was 30 years ago in Copenhagen, and it was a very important summit for the ILO. It is, by the way, as a follow-up of the first summit that the ILO adopted the Tripartite Declaration on Fundamental Principles and Rights at Work. But in 30 years, of course, the world has changed quite substantially. We have major transformation going throughout different society. The world of work is getting transformed, undergoing major changes. So I think it's very important that at this stage, the summit really be an opportunity to take stock of where we are on social development on the one hand, and on the other hand, also look at the gaps, where the gaps in terms of social development, and what can we do together, we meaning the international community, what can we do together to address those gaps? And the third reason why this summit is important for the ILO, it's also because it's really an opportunity to gather the international community behind ambitious social development goals. I mean, the world is complicated. I'm sure you're very aware of, the difficulties that the multilateral system is going through. So really trying to have a consensus again with an ambitious outcome in Qatar, I think would be very important for the world today. Thank you.
Absolutely. Great points. Thank you so much, Claire. And Adriana, what are Brazil's priorities for this summit? Tell us.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for being here. So I'm going to talk about some of the priorities of Brazil. Yes, we think that it's a chance for for us to work and to renew our faith in multilateralism. And it's very important because this is going to be the last conference that's celebrating the 30 years. Last year was the population development. This year was Beijing, 30 years. And now it's Copenhagen, 30 years. So I think so Brazil arrives at the summit committed to a dignity-first agenda based on inclusion and justice. We insist on racial and ethnic equity, ensuring that Afro-descendants, indigenous peoples, and traditional communities are clearly included in policies related to education, employment, health, and climate action. Gender. We defend gender equality and continue to push back against the global backlash targeting gender and sexual and reproductive health and rights. We support strong commitment that support the empowerment of all women and girls. Then we stand firmly for the rights of the LGBTQIA plus community. We recognize that sexual diversity is essential to true inclusion. Brazil will continue to speak up for the protection of the community in all aspects of life, social, economic, and cultural. Especially since we are here at the ILO, labor inclusion is one of the most important issues, and it's critical because of discrimination, LGBTQIA plus people, they have different access, not the same opportunities as everybody else. So in terms of health, Brazil calls for an urgent global action on neglected diseases such as tuberculosis, malaria, and HIV/AIDS. And we urge awareness of social and environmental determinants of health. We support local and regional production of health products in line with our G20 initiative. We advocate for inclusive social protection systems tailored to informal and platform-based work and fair progressive tax systems to fund essential social programs. So let's tax the rich to have more money for our programs. And finally, Brazil is inviting all partners to join the Global Alliance Against Hunger and Poverty. That was our G20 started initiative to address the root causes of hunger and extreme poverty in the world. Finally, we align with the ILO's agenda of decent work, meaning promoting rights at work, employment, social protection, and social dialogue.
Absolutely. Those are very important priorities. Thank you for walking through that. Shaha, what can the summit concretely deliver on social protection?
Well, thank you for the question, Khadija, and it's great to be joining here with Adriana and Claire. I think both have already laid out some of the key issues that are on the agenda of the summit. I think social protection, we see it clearly as a human right. The right to social security, this is very clearly laid out in human rights standards, as well as in ILO recommendations, conventions. So this goes without saying. However, what we also know is that investing in social protection can be a catalyst for the achievement of all the SDGs. In particular, when we think of the three pillars that are part of the social summit, when you look at poverty, for example, investing in social protection can be very effective, not only in eradicating poverty, but also in preventing people from falling into poverty in the first place, if you have that strong right to social security. When we think of inequalities, again, social protection can be a very powerful tool for reducing all kinds of inequalities, including gender inequalities, as Adriana mentioned. And then when we think of social exclusion and social inclusion, social protection can really be the kind of platform that can facilitate the building of a social contract between states and citizens, and very critical for social inclusion. Now, despite all of these benefits, I think we all know that social protection in practice is not a right that is enjoyed by everyone. ILO's latest data shows that almost 48% of the global population has absolutely no right to social protection, no matter what life cycle risk they face. If they lose a job, if they don't have health care, they're really left with nothing to fall back on. So we have a long way to go. And in terms of numbers, this is 3.8 billion people with no protection whatsoever. So what should the summit do? I think we can really use this summit to renew the momentum with very realistic targets. And here we hope that the target that many member states have been proposing of extending social protection by at least 2 percentage points per year will be accepted and will make it into the declaration. We think it's a realistic target based on data that we have. We know that in the past 8 years, already 42 countries have done it. So it's not a target that's kind of pulled out of the sky. It's achievable, it's doable, it has been done. So we really hope that this summit will push for it and make sure that we have the social protection as a right for everyone by 2030 in order to achieve all of the things that the summit has laid out in its three pillars. Thank
you. Absolutely. Thank you. Totally, Shaha. Thank you so much. And Claire, let's come back to you. What does the ILO bring concretely to the summit?
Thanks. Hello? Yeah, thank you. Well, I think, first of all, it's important to have in mind that the summit is a government-led process. So the ILO as a UN organization can support the process, share its expertise, its experience, but it's really government that are in the driving seat for the summit. So what the ILO has done is bringing a tripartite contribution. And this tripartite contribution is made of two parts. We have adopted, the governing body of the ILO has adopted last November, some key messages to the summit. So there's a range of recommendations. I wouldn't do justice to try to summarize the tripartite, the key messages, but it's policy recommendation, focusing on the four pillars of decent work, social protection, of course, social dialogue, job creation, an enabling environment for micro and medium-sized enterprises, of course, international labor standards, the care economy. So there's a number of recommendations there that, the tripartite constituent have decided to send to the summit. So that's the first part, the first document. And then this afternoon, if you have the chance, you can go to the plenary session because the conference is due to adopt a resolution on the summit, which lay out basically what the tripartite constituent would expect out of the summit. So really what the ILO is bringing is the voice of workers, employers, and government. And beyond the content of the recommendation themselves, it's also bringing, the value of tripartism and social dialogue to the summit. Because those documents, those tripartite documents, were really issued or worked together out of a process. There was a working party, a tripartite working party called the Working Party on the Social Contract that came together to end up with those recommendations. Thanks.
Totally. Thank you so much. I'm going to come back to you, Adriana, too. In this particularly difficult context for multilateral system, why is the summit critical for Brazil?
Khadija, it's really critical and Brazil is really worried. And diplomacy has a big part to play in this worldwide. And we are focusing we view the summit as a possible turning point and we have to work hard towards it. We have to agree on a strong, action-oriented fine declaration that recenters people's rights and inclusion in global development. Because we are now seeing a growing political fragmentation, weakening international solidarity, and a concerning backlash against fundamental rights, especially in the areas of gender, racial justice, and sustainable development. And it's unfortunately things that we are seeing right now in ILO negotiations. So we believe that multilateralism must also be a space for sharing effective solutions. Like we want to foster international cooperation around good practices, such as Brazil's Bolsa Família. It's a successful conditional cash transfer that has become a global reference. And also, we have a new law that enforces equal pay for equal work between women and men. I think these are examples of how social policy can address structural inequality in practical, measurable ways. And finally, Brazil sees the summit as a space to renew our shared commitment to social development as a foundation of global peace and security. and also prosperity, what includes supporting frameworks like the ILO agenda, which reminds us that decent work, inclusion, and social justice are not separate from development, but its core. Thank you.
Oh, excellent. Shaha, you might, and all of you might know this, but the fourth conference on financing for development will take place at the end of June. How will the outcome of that conference influence the commitments made by the summit on social protection?
Yeah, thank you. There is, as you said, at the end of June in Seville, there'll be the Financing for Development Conference. And I think it, in terms of the timing of it, I again want to highlight what Adriana said about this period of backlash and backsliding. When we look at social protection, we had a lot of new measures put in place during COVID. But after that period, we've really had quite a strong push for austerity. Many of those programs were short term and they were wrapped up and they disappeared. And we are kind of, we said COVID is a wake up call. We need to build universal social protection systems. But I think we all forgot and we got, and countries had problems with debt distress, with fiscal space shrinking. So now in the Financing for Development outcome document, the current version, I think member states, as Claire said, member states are the drivers, and they have in the FFD process been pushing for having, and I think this is quite a landmark, having a paragraph in the action paragraphs of the summit, which includes in para 22J, a mention of the need to extend social protection by at least 2 percentage points per annum. This is very important because prior to this, out of the Addis conference, for example, and previous financing for development conferences, the references to social protection were only in the preambular part, not in the action paragraphs. So we now have this quite important indication in the action paras, which should open the door for ministries of labor, for institutes of social protection and social security, to really discuss the issue of financing for social protection with ministries of finance, who've been the ones who have discussed and negotiated the financing for development outcome document. So if this para stays, and we hope that member states will make sure that it does stay, it will provide a really good bridge to the social summit, because this provides the means of action. And then in the summit, we can discuss all the important issues around integrated policies, what the Global Accelerator is doing, what the Global Alliance Against Hunger and Poverty is doing, to make sure that the policies are in place, to really put in place decent work, employment generation, and social protection as a package. And my last point is to say that the FFD outcome document also includes important discussions around progressive taxation that Adriana referred to, around debt. And I think if these issues are well addressed in the FFD outcome document, then I think it opens the space and creates the possibility for member states to create more fiscal space, especially for developing countries that are in debt distress, to really make do on the reality of all the policies that we know are very important for the creation of decent work and social protection. So let me end here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Shaha. I mean, thank you so much for all of you. It was a very interesting conversation. That's all for today's episode. Thank you for listening. We hope you will join us again for more conversations on the key issues shaping the world of work. Don't forget to follow us on social media for more updates and insights. On X at ILO, on Facebook, and LinkedIn is at International Labour Conference. On Instagram is at ILO_.org. And on YouTube is at ILO TV. Until next time, take care and goodbye from all of us at the ILO.